Thank you, Pastor Bill, and good morning, everyone. Good to see you all, and good morning to those of you who are online or even those of you watching during the week at some point in time. It's good to have you with us. Well, I wonder if you can remember a time when you personally encountered Jesus and it changed your life. You might remember that time where you were aware of your sin and that need for a Savior in your life, and so you repented of your sin, you invited Jesus into your heart, then all of a sudden your life took on a whole new meaning and purpose. You're invigorated and you had this renewed joy that you'd never experienced before. Or perhaps it was that moment where someone lay hands on you and prayed for you in Jesus' name and this miraculous healing took place as a result. Or perhaps it was a time when you were working through the Gospels and there was a narrative that really spoke to you. There was a verse that jumped off the page and hit you right between the eyes and helped you make a decision that you needed to make in your life. Or perhaps you experienced Jesus through somebody else. Perhaps it was a conversation you were having with a friend, a mentor, or a pastor, and they had a word of encouragement for you, or a prophetic word in season that changed the whole trajectory of your life. Or as it was for me, it was a moment out in the wilderness, in creation, where I had this enlightening experience that led me towards Jesus. See, when we encounter Jesus, stuff happens. Our lives change, transformation comes. You see, salvation comes, pointing us to an eternity with God. Forgiveness of sins releases us and gives us freedom, no longer stuck in our sin. Stuff happens. Life aspirations change, behaviors change, hearts change, the way we view people, the way we treat people changes. You see, a close encounter with Jesus changes your life. And today we're going to start a four-week series titled Close Encounters. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to highlight one particular encounter we come across in the words of Scripture, where someone has an encounter with Jesus, and we wait to see what unfolds as a result. And so today's story is a case in point. It's a story of Nicodemus and his close encounter with Jesus. And I read here from John chapter 3. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit." So in just one sentence, Jesus totally flips Nicodemus' world upside down and his whole belief system. He says, unless you are born again, unless you are born again, you will not experience the kingdom of God. Now, that highlights a necessary condition, not just for Nicodemus, but for all people, a necessary condition for all people who want to experience salvation. So in other words, what Jesus is saying here, we must be undone and then remade. So Jesus gives Nicodemus a few pearls here to think about. So look at the life of Nicodemus, because there might be some aspects in his life that you can even relate to even now. The first thing we learn about Nicodemus is he's a religious man. So he's a Pharisee who kept himself from immorality, he kept himself from alcohol. He was pretty much a clean skin. There wouldn't have been too many blemishes on Nicodemus. And he was a stickler for the law. He would honor Old Testament law. Yet this was the sort of religious leader, the likes of that Jesus would often criticize for being a hypocrite. That's right. So Nicodemus was often frowned upon as far as Jesus was concerned. See, most Pharisees, they were jealous of Jesus. They were feeling like Jesus was undermining him. So the ways, the works, and the words of Jesus did not land well when it came to people like Nicodemus, because they felt like their authority was being undermined, their way of life was being threatened and challenged as a result. So Nicodemus, he's one of the most religious people of his day. People would have looked to him and admired him and thought, he is so wise. He'd be a go-to person in his community. Great teacher of the law, yet despite all of his credentials, Jesus looks him right down the barrel and says to Nicodemus, you ain't enough. It's not enough what you're doing, how you're living your life. You must be born again. Now, that would have been really confronting for Nicodemus. But you know what? That's confronting for all people who believe that religion puts you right before God. That somehow religion is like the silver bullet to entry into heaven. You know, if I just follow a rigid set of religious principles and rules, and everything will be all right. If I read the Bible at times, if I just attend church at Christmas and Easter, maybe a few other times during the year, and if I don't steal, if I don't cheat, if I don't commit adultery, if I pray, and if I confess, and if I cross myself at pivotal times in my life, and if I go around the local animal shelter and help out there on a Saturday morning, everything will be sweet between me and God. Everything. Well, Jesus is saying that everything won't be sweet if that's your MO. Religion and good deeds, as good as they might be in of themselves, cannot save us. They're not enough for you to experience salvation. You must be born again. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus. It's about surrendering our hearts and our lives to Jesus so it gets personal. It's not about what we do. It's about what he has done. And in the context of Nicodemus, it's what Jesus would do for him down the track on the cross. So that's where that head knowledge seeps deeply into our heart, and then the overflow is a life of good deeds, a life that is pleasing to God, that which is honouring to him. First thing we learn about Nicodemus, he's religious. Second thing we learn is he's a prestigious man. He was a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin being the Jewish Supreme Court of the day. Now, this guy would have risen up the ranks, and here he is at the top of the ladder pretty much. So people want to be like Nicodemus. They covet the job that he's got in many ways. They look at him and think, wow, he's almost untouchable. This is a prestigious man. This is a guy of great position, of great responsibility, and great popularity. Yet with all of these attributes and titles and accolades that he had earned over his lifetime, he's still inquisitive. He appears intrigued by the character of Jesus. He's intrigued by these miracles that he's been performing. And so it's fair to suggest that he's living with some sort of unease. Because he comes to Jesus, he wouldn't have chased after Jesus otherwise at such an unusual hour of the day. See, people like Nicodemus, and there are plenty of them around us, isn't there? And perhaps we're one of them. Even people with titles and accolades and awards and accomplishments and rising up the ladder. And when the activity of the day stops, when darkness sets in and we're in the quiet recesses of our lives, you're often found wanting. Wanting more. Wanting more substance in your life. I'll never forget this phone call that I got a few years ago now when I was living in Adelaide, and I was the chaplain of the Adelaide Crows. Any Adelaide Crows supporters here? No, not one. Oh, we've got one there. Well done, sorry. Okay, one loud and proud member over there. Very good. And another one over here. Sorry, I missed your hand too. Hey, look, I was with the Crows for a few years, and I got this phone call on this particular day. It was quite a surprising phone call. It was a member of the coaching panel. I said, hey, Rev. They called me Rev, and they said, Rev, can I meet with you? Yeah, no worries, I'll be down in the club during the week. Can we meet offline in a cafe somewhere? Yeah, no worries. So thinking that he was going to talk to me about player welfare or something. But then he spills out his whole life to me. This great surprise, this big man with muscles and a reputation, and just sort of lets it all out. And says to me, look, Mark, I'm living the dream. I've got this dream job in the AFL. There are thousands of people all around the country that want my job. I've got access to players. I'm having impact and influence in the AFL world. And I've got a great salary. I've got this dream job. It's everything I've always wanted and worked for. And he looked me in between the eyes and said, Mark, I'm not satisfied. There's got to be more to life than what I'm doing. There has to be more. There's an emptiness inside of me. And I don't know what that is. And so it was my great privilege to connect him or reconnect him back to Jesus and give him some good reading material and pray for him and just chat about how he can have a relationship with Jesus to fill that void, that emptiness that he was experiencing. See, sometimes we so-called well-to-do humans, we can outsmart ourselves. We think, you know, I don't need saving. I don't need any help. I've got all the resources I need beside me to do life and do it well. But Jesus said, yeah, but even the most educated, even the most intelligent, even the most prestigious need saving. Why? Because even the very best in the world's eyes can be really empty on the inside. And that's what we learn about Nicodemus. He's obviously an empty man. See, religion tells you to perform. Religion tells you to work for your salvation. But the only problem with that is you're never quite sure whether you've done enough. When's it enough? And so you keep ticking those religious boxes and you keep ticking the good works. And then there's always more to do, isn't there? To try and make yourself right before God. And then prestige and reputation is an issue because that can mask a person's heart. That can mark a person's reality and what's going on inside. Now, how often do we pick up the paper or read a story online and we read that this very well-known person who seems to have it all has taken their life? And you read this, why? What on earth are you doing? See, in the world's eyes, you would think, why? Because, hey, got a partner, good-looking person, great kids, huge salary, gone number one on the charts, in the movies or the music industry, whatever it might be. They seem to have it all, yet they've exited this world prematurely. Why? Well, so often it's because there's an emptiness inside that has been masked by all this stuff that the world offers us, that the world says is success and will bring you meaning. Yet again, when darkness falls, that doesn't stack up anymore. The only one that can fill that void, that emptiness that so many people experience, is Jesus, the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Absolutely. Hey, so here we've got Nicodemus, this empty man. Appears that he's still empty because he's sick of living this way. He goes on this undercover search for Jesus. So he approaches him at night time. Now, we assume that he does this at night time because he doesn't want to be outed. He doesn't want to be publicly exposed as a Jesus follower at this point in his life. But credit to him. At least he goes. He's got the courage to actually go out and inquire. So he examines Jesus for himself. And that's a great reminder, isn't it? That if you want to experience salvation, if you want to experience the kingdom of God, you want to experience Jesus, you need to come yourself. You need to make that decision personally. You can't be grabbed by the scruff neck and thrown into the kingdom by somebody else. You can't be cajoled into the kingdom. You can't be debated into the kingdom. You need to come, lay your stuff down, and personally come before Jesus. At some point, you've got to leave behind what is and what was. As good, bad, as indifferent as that might be. And sometimes it might even be your parents' faith that you've been leaning on for years and years and years. And stepping up and stepping in and making it your own discovery. Making it your reality, not somebody else's. Now, Nicodemus, he acknowledges that Jesus comes from God. So he's halfway there. But he's not the whole way there, is he? He's still not a genuine believer, not yet anyway. Jesus challenges him. He says, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, not if you want to think about it, but the only way, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, if you want to know me personally, you must be born again. Now, speaking of birth, one thing that we've all got in common here, and those of you online, we've all got this in common together, we've all been born. We know that. And for most of you, your mothers went through one heck of an ordeal to bring you into this world. And here's the other thing we've got in common. Every single one of you at some point in your life was a beautiful little angel. Have a look at the person sitting right next to you now. You can't believe that, can you? Yes, that person. Have a look at him at home. Have a look at that person next to you on the couch. That person was an angel. Because when you were 6 months of age, people used to dote over you and say, oh, what a precious, beautiful little thing. Oh, my little princess. Oh, beautiful. And you get to 12 months of age and people would say to you, oh, isn't he so cute? Isn't she so precious? Look at her. Look. And 18 months, so there's milestones. You'd say your first word. You'd get up on your toes. You'd start crawling or walking. Everyone thought you were so clever. Lots of accolades coming your way. You were beautiful. You were angelic-like. And then you turned two. Something happened. Something happened at two. Where naughtiness started to pervade, where your cuteness evaporated, where your inquisitive nature, your innocence evaporated, and naughtiness took over. And it's not just about two, is it? In many ways, two was the age. That was the platform for our naughtiness. We just learnt how to be naughty and how to be even naughtier as the years go on. And we did, unfortunately, because we learn that at a very early age, we can start to be dictated to by the flesh, the human flesh. And so we start behaving badly. We criticize people. We're jealous of people. We judge people unfairly. We hate. We've got bitterness. We've got anger. We do silly things and we live selfishly. We live for ourselves without any sort of guiding spiritual truths or any sort of moral compass. And there must be a point in time in everyone's life, and many of you have already got to this point. There must be a point in time where you're faced with a decision. Will I keep living according to the flesh? Will I keep living this way? Will I keep disregarding Jesus? Or will I come to him and be born again? Now, that's a decision my good friend May had to make earlier this year, faced with a decision. Do I leave my past behind and walk into a new reality? May's going to come and share her story with us this morning. May, would you come? And thank you for being here this morning to share your story. This is an awesome story, this one here. And this is the third time you've told it now this weekend, so thank you for being here. We put our hands together and encourage May, and thank you very much. And your kids, Grace and Chalmers, who have been here and heard me preach now three times and heard your story three times, they want to keep coming back for more.
Yes.
Good on your kids. We like you. Okay. Hey, May, you've got a great story. And it started with your neighbour, Dorcas, who you live near. And don't forget that the story you're about to hear now started right back where a neighbour invited May to read the Bible with her. This is where the story starts. So May has no Christian upbringing or background, doesn't have a Bible. Her mum was a Buddhist. And as a family, they didn't practice any sort of religion at all, did you? So this was all pretty new to you. And you started reading through the Gospel of Mark with Dorcas, and a little bit like Nicodemus, you became curious. Who is this Jesus? Wow, these stories are amazing. And so you started exploring and asking questions. There was one particular day where Dorcas asked you, "Hey, May, how are you today?" What happened in that moment?
I cried out a lot. I was in a dark time. It was so struggling for me to deal with all the commitments in life. My husband and I started business, working as a restaurant 4 days before the fifth lockdown. I burned out all my savings. I struggling to pay off the bill, and I questioning was how to survive tomorrow. On another hand, I work full time. And I have two kids to look after because my husband like trapped himself in the business and he tied up all his time. So I am the only one to look after the household, big or small, everything on my own. How can I bear? Mm. I couldn't. So I felt collapsed on that day. At that moment when Dorcas prayed for me, I feel a lot better. And I settled down my emotion a little bit. I walk out to the garden. It was amazing. All the LED solar lights was on. They gone dark for over a year because the cable were damaged by the possum. So it was possums. Amazing. The picture is so beautiful. I look at the garden. Mm. My tears come off. Mm. But with a big smile, I said, "Thank you, Jesus."
Wow, so that was the moment where you really sensed symbolically Jesus was inviting you into the light. You're moving out of this darkness that had been pervading for so long. And this was quite symbolic of these LED lights on for the first time in so long and inviting you into the light. And that invitation then included coming along to Alpha. Dorcas invited you to Alpha. Yep. And you went along to the Holy Spirit weekend about 7 weeks in. And that was the moment you decided to make things personal. You invited Jesus into your heart on that Alpha weekend, and you were prayed for. Tell us what happened as you were being prayed for.
Yeah, at that moment, I still have some question marks. What's going on? Like, I closed my eyes with my arms open, and my team leader, Paul, he lead the prayer, and he prayed for me. And all in sudden, I feel some heat current, like, around me, and I hardly open my eye checking is that a heater turn on like around me. But it just magically happened for some reason. I don't know why. I couldn't explain. Mm-hmm. And Paul said he saw some sparkling light around me.
Yeah, so there's that light again
that
you've now walked into. Hey, after that very special weekend, you concluded the Alpha program, and towards the back end, we've got a theme of Does God Heal Today? And you've had a real issue with your hearing since birth, and particularly infection in your right ear. For 10 years, no doctor's been able to help you. Antibiotics haven't helped. Deep cleaning hasn't helped. And they prayed for you that night. You had a group of people pray over you very passionately and insistently and faith-filled prayers. What transpired?
Yep. I was born with a broken eardrum on my left, and I have developed some infection on my right, so I barely can hear something very subtle. So on that night, the whole team prayed for me. I closed my eyes, opened my arms, and I feel something on my palm so warm and so it's just heating up my whole body. I keep closing my eyes because I know that's the Holy Spirit. The wow. Holy Spirit has come. But my team keep praying, but my hearing yet to get healed.
Yeah.
Until the night at 11 o'clock, when I in the bedroom, I suddenly can hear the tick-tock clock. And I hear some traffic. I look out at the garden. There's a panel of flashing lights, just keep flashing. It's just like I'm on the stage and the camera flashing in front of me. I was shocked, and then I couldn't figure out what's happening, but I can hear.
How good is that?
And the next day morning, I woke up at 6 o'clock to read the Bible. It was peaceful and comfortable. All I can hear is the bird singing from far away, everywhere, here, there. It's just when you stand at the stage, and it's just like a surrounding sound in the theater. So for this beautiful sound, I have been missing for so long.
Yeah.
How wonderful is that? How beautiful is the world created, right? Life is beautiful.
Oh, wonderful. And great. Great testimony of God's healing power and His creation. Hey, earlier this year, you walked into this auditorium for the very first time, but actually you walked into church for the very first time in your life. And you didn't just walk down the aisle and sit somewhere. You actually walked up here on stage and actually walked through the waters of baptism and got baptized and told the world that you love Jesus, you've committed your life to Him, a really special day. And you've been growing ever since. I know you bring your kids to Crossway Kids every week. You've joined a life group because you know that doing life with others is going to help you in community and help you growing. And you've also started serving already. We can't hold you back now. You've already started learning and been trained to be a Chinese life coach to help other families just like yours. Fantastic. So let me just finish with this question for you, mate. What sort of difference has Jesus made to your life?
The light Jesus put on in my garden that night, and just one night, it lights up my hope. He lights up my life. It's the light that no one can touch, not the possum. It's the light here to strengthen me to walk out from the dark. No matter what happens, I don't worry too much that I can't bear. So anyone at any point of life, you may facing different challenge. You're struggling with your parents, you're struggling with your kids, you're struggling with your husband or wife, you're struggling with your friends, you're struggling with the financial. So everything come together. But there's always a light for you, for you personally, that Jesus well prepared for. Just come forward to ask and to look for the light. Matthew 7:8, everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be open. The door will be open for everyone.
Thank you so much. Amen. Yeah. Put your hands together. Thank you, May. Wow. And Pastor Bill, did you notice, Pastor Bill, how more confident May's become as the weekend's gone on? She's going to be on the preaching team next week, I reckon. The way she's going. Man. Hey, there's a wonderful verse there that's May Israeli. If anyone's in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. May has had a new birth. And it's that new birth that Nicodemus was trying pretty hard to figure out, had him confused somewhat, even for a learned man. He doesn't get it. He thinks Jesus is talking about some sort of physical rebirth, but Jesus says, no, we're talking about a spiritual rebirth here. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. And then he uses the metaphor of the wind. When the wind blows wherever it pleases, you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So the wind is unexplained. You can see its impact, but you can't pinpoint its source. Being born again is very much like that. It's a supernatural act that has supernatural results. Now, it can't be tested. It can't be diagnosed. There's no secret recipe. It just is. When new birth comes, there is that supernatural process that you can see taking place in someone's life like May's, and then you see the impact on their life, where life now is forever change. So being born again, it's not about that strict observance of those religious rules. It's not about our human efforts. It's not about rising up the corporate ladder and that position in society. It's not about popularity. It's not about the wage. It's not about the prestige or even the knowledge or even those religious tick boxes. It's about surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ, coming to Him personally, and then the spiritual transformation that comes only through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit that is infused within us when we are born again. Now, Jesus goes on to say in chapter 3, verse 16, that very well-known verse, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." But Nicodemus could not enter that reality. None of us can enter that reality unless we are born again. So what was Nicodemus's response? Well, it's quite intriguing because Nicodemus sort of fades out of the narrative at this point in time. We actually don't know what his immediate response was to this encounter with Jesus. But I think it's fair to assume that that encounter meant the world to him and it changed his life. Why? Because we come across Nicodemus two more times in the Gospels. The first time is this in John chapter 7 in his role on the Jewish council. And this particular time, the Jewish council were having this special meeting on how they could oust Jesus. We need to get rid of him once and for all. He's causing us too much pain, too much trouble. He's preaching an alternative message that we don't want anything about. Let's get rid of him. How are we going to do it? It was Nicodemus in that moment that stood up, stuck his neck out, and spoke up for Jesus, defending him. And although those words fell on deaf ears, what that indicated was Nicodemus had been changed by Jesus. And then, even more importantly, down the track, at the death of Jesus, Nicodemus actually comes alongside and joins Joseph of Arimathea at the time after Jesus has just died on the cross. So Nicodemus witnesses this death on the cross. But then with Joseph of Arimathea, he actually asks for the body of Jesus so they can prepare it for burial. And Nicodemus, he brings the ointment. He actually supplies the ointment, brings it with him. And then together, they wrap his body with spices in strips of linen and lay him in the tomb. And again, this is a bold, bold move for someone like Nicodemus. No doubt confronted by the death of Jesus on the cross and the words of that previous conversation about being born again ringing in his ears. He's obviously changed. He's moved from darkness into the light and been impacted in a significant way. What about you? Those of you watching online today, what about you? Have you encountered Jesus? Are you born again? Perhaps you're still trying to earn God's favor, trying to do as much as you can to earn His favor. Or perhaps like Nicodemus, you've got a few things figured out in your life, a few things going well, family, friends, job, all those sorts of things, yet there's still this emptiness inside of you that needs filling. The invitation to all of us, the invitation to you is to encounter Jesus, to listen to His words, be born again, and then experience the transformation that comes from God's Spirit living inside of you. You know, before this rebirth, you could liken our lives to that of a caterpillar. I don't know much about caterpillars, but I imagine at some point in time, the caterpillar gets an urge to change. You know, they've been hanging out with caterpillars for most of their time on Earth, and then enjoying hanging out with other caterpillars. They enjoy the gum leaves and munching away on those gum leaves. But at some point in time, the caterpillar gets this urge to change and thinks, there's got to be more to life than this. So what the caterpillar has to do to prepare themselves for this change is to actually surrender their body, to let it go, and become cocooned, encased in this cocoon. But then before they then come out and experience this new lease of life, there's often this struggle to break away from the cocoon. How much is that like us in our lives? How often we need to break away from those dysfunctional, nasty, naughty habits that are pervading, that we're holding on to, that are so far from Jesus, but those things that we've got used to because it become normality and they become habitual, to actually struggle and let go of that stuff in order for us to enjoy this new life. And so the caterpillar eventually makes his way out, struggles out of the cocoon, and has this new lease of life. All of a sudden, they look different. Different color, different shape. They can fly, they've got wings. You know what? They're not going to fly back to the old gum leaf. That doesn't cut it anymore. They actually fly to the flower. Often you see a butterfly sitting on a gum leaf. It's pretty rare. You see them sitting on flowers. Why? So they can suck out the sweet nectar from the center of that flower as they feast and nourish their bodies on this new delicacy. And so the butterfly has no urge to go back to how things were. Why would you? Well, now you've got wings and a new taste, a new zest for living. And that's a bit like us, isn't it? When you come to Jesus and you are born again, and you get a taste for Jesus, you won't want to go back. You won't want to go back to how things were. And there's this wonderful scripture in the Psalms that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord, have you tasted Jesus? Those of you online, have you tasted Jesus? See, God is into recreating that which is imperfect, us. Every single one of us, imperfect ones. And maybe today God is calling you to be born again, to surrender yourself to Him, to struggle no more. Invite Jesus Christ into your heart and receive the transforming power of the Holy Spirit that you will be infused with in that moment. It was Jesus Himself that says in John 14, verse 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Not unlike what he said to Nicodemus, hey? I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they be born again. Let's pray together. And just as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I invite those of you online into this prayerful space too as you bow your heads and close your eyes. And perhaps this is an opportunity for those of you that have never done this before, to embrace this invitation to be born again and say yes to Jesus. Perhaps you're tired of living life your own way. Perhaps you're tired of living life in a self-centered way. Perhaps you're tired of chasing after the world's acceptance and chasing after all those things the world says will complete you. Perhaps you're tired of the tiredness. Tired of chasing the accolades, tired of living life defeated. Perhaps you're tired of ticking all of those religious boxes because there's always more to tick. Perhaps you're tired of discontent. Perhaps you're tired of that emptiness. If that's you, I'm going to encourage you, invite you to pray this prayer now in the quiet of your hearts. You might like to recite it back and make it your prayer to God. I need you, Jesus. I need a Savior. And in this moment, I wish to be born again. I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I want to thank you for taking all of my sin and all my imperfections to that cross. And I confess that sin before you now. knowing that I haven't been all that you require of me. And I ask your forgiveness. Would you forgive me? And in this moment, Jesus, I invite you into my heart and I place my trust in you. And I ask that you might fill me with your Spirit, that life may now be forever different. I let go of the past and I embrace the new and I commit to walking the new with you for the rest of my days. Amen. As we continue to bow our heads in this prayerful space, close our eyes and hey, look, if you found yourself in this room praying that prayer for yourself this morning, making things personal, having a close encounter with Jesus in that moment, let me invite you just to place your hand in the air and make eye contact with me. I'm not going to embarrass you and out you in a sense. Just place your hand in the air. It's quite helpful when you make an external or public declaration that I've just made the best decision in my life. And I'm proud to say that. Just put your hand in the air, make eye contact with me, and I'll ask you just to place it back down. Did you find yourself praying that prayer this morning? Just put your hand in the air. Praise God. I can see that down the front here. Yes. Praise God. Anyone else? Yes, over here. Praise God for what he's doing in your life. Yes, praise God, up the back there. I can see that. Anyone else? Yes, right up the back there. Praise God for what he's doing for you and in you. Anyone else? I'm going to linger a little bit longer. It's too important not to linger. Yes, just here. Praise God. Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Those of you online, if you have prayed that prayer, let Pastor Steve know. He's got a little link there to raise your virtual hand. You do that now. If you've prayed that prayer, and let him know that you've prayed that prayer to be born again. But I'm just going to wait just that little bit longer. Is there anyone else that's prayed that prayer this morning? Just place your hand in the air. Make eye contact with me. Praise God. I can see that hand above right up the back there. Yes. Praise God. Is there anyone else? I'll come over this side of the platform. Anyone over here? Yes, right in the back corner there. Praise God. Anybody else? Just that little bit longer. Yes. Just here. Praise God. Anyone else? Lord God, we want to pray right now in this moment for those who have just indicated a life-changing decision before you. Those who have just invited you into their hearts to be born again. God, I pray for each and every one of those and those online too who have prayed that prayer, that they would know that they are loved, that they are accepted, that they are forgiven. And I would ask that by your Spirit you would come upon them afresh in this moment and they would now know and have confidence to walk from this place knowing their life now is forever different. They get to walk it with you as their constant companion. And for that, they are grateful, we are grateful, and we are celebrating that very fact. So God, would you come upon each of them now? Would you go before them now and excite them, infuse them with incredible joy and a peace and a hope that you now have now a journey companion for the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How about we put our hands together and celebrate those decisions this morning? Those of you online, we celebrate you too.